97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic. 6:01 here on this Friday night as we get ready for the Sixers pregame show presented by Corona as we broadcast from Collegeville for the show here tonight as we are joined here by plenty of people at the Great Trap Tavern here out in Collegeville. So come on by. We're here from 6 to 8:45 right here on The Fanatic as we get ready for some hoops on The Fanatic. Sixers, final game of the four-game road trip. They are in Denver to take on the Denver Nuggets. And once again, our pregame show is presented by Corona. I am joined this week while we are on the road, like the Sixers are on the road, of course, with my partner here, my partner in crime, and we have a lot to talk about. That is D-Lineham. D, what's happening?
What's going on, Devon? I love this place.
Isn't it? I mean, first of all, when I pulled in, I'm like, man, there's nowhere to park.
I know.
Right?
Well, now you know why.
Now you know why, because when you walk in, it's packed in here. This is a great spot. We've already had a chance to speak to some great people, and I'm sure we'll see a lot of them throughout the night. Again, we're here until 8:45 before we hand things off to Brian Seltzer of Sixers.com for the pregame coverage right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Tom McGinnis on the game call. D, 5-2 as we look at it now. When we last spoke, it was the first road game of the two-game trip after they won the home opener against Boston. They were getting ready to take on the Detroit Pistons that evening. No Joel Embiid that night. Since then, they improved to 5-0. Everything is looking great. Embiid gets into a fight. He's suspended for two games. Four-game road trip. They win the first, lose two. Now we're looking to see if they can get this final one and split the road trip here. And actually, it's an important one just in terms of how do you respond to, number one, losing. You are a good team. And secondly, you're going to be out arguably with your second-best player.
Right, with Ben Simmons out, and they now are saying he'll be out. I thought originally it was maybe only going to be the one game. Looks like he's going to miss three.
I agree with that.
Yes.
A shoulder is a problem.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Though it is his non-shooting shoulder, we should say.
He does not shoot.
I was just going to say, some would say it doesn't matter because he doesn't shoot. But I thought it was interesting to try to figure out when he heard it, and it wasn't on the bumping into the guy when he was posting him up. It had taken place earlier in the game.
I thought it was when he
fell to the ground.
You saw it, right?
Yeah.
I was listening because I was leaving the station as it happened, so I was still in the car before I got to sit down and watch the game. And I remember Tom McGinnis reacting, saying, oh, that was an awkward fall by Ben Simmons.
And he laid on the ground a little bit.
Right, and he said he stayed down for a while, so I was thinking that's when it was, but all they kept showing, D, was him bumping into the defensive player.
Yeah, right.
Which is not what it was, right? Yeah. So, no.
Yes. So, nonetheless, out three games. Raul Neto will be, I assume, in the starting position there for Simmons tonight. And honestly, you got a great game out of Embiid the other night, and it wasn't good enough to get you a W. I thought his 27, 16 of 18 at the line, but the one free throw that he misses was critical. I didn't think their defense was as good as it can be the other night, so I'll be interested to see how they come out against Denver. Denver hasn't been lighting the world on fire.
No, they're 5-2 right now, even though they haven't been lighting the world on fire, so they still had a good record, good pace
And I like the big man matchup.
Oh, yeah, and Jokic didn't have a good game on Tuesday. I think he had only 9 points. They had 6 players in double figures. He and Gary Harris were the only two starters who did not total double figures. So you would have to assume, number one, the matchup, of course, with Embiid. And number two, he didn't have a big number in terms of points. Even though they won the game, Jokic is going to want to come out and perform tonight.
Yeah, and Denver's won their last two. I know earlier in the season, Mike Malone came at them hard. Mm-hmm. Didn't really like the way his team was playing.
Yep, 3-2.
Right, exactly. This is a good test for them. Denver's a really, really good team. And these guys need to, they've been brought down. It's funny, they beat the Celtics, and now all of a sudden the Celtics have rattled off 6 straight wins.
6-1.
Yeah, 6-1 leading the conference.
Yep.
So, there's a lot of interesting basketball happening right now.
Well, it's going to be a fun game tonight, but before we dive into that, and we'll certainly get in there for later on, Andrew Sauchunas is here with us as well, as he always is. Here at these locations for the Sixers pregame show, presented by Corona, live at Trap Tavern. Andrew Salchunas will be handing out giveaways during the break. He is giving out tickets. He has a chance for you to win a trip to San Francisco to see the
March
Santa Cruz Warriors, because they don't have anybody except for my man Eric Pascal out there doing work. And so come on out and hang out if you want to go to a game. I believe, D, the tickets that are being given away are for Tuesday. They're back home after tonight's game. Sunday, they are hosting the Charlotte Hornets. Tuesday, they are hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I believe the tickets that Andrew is giving away tonight are for
Cavaliers.
Tuesday's game nice. Against the Cavaliers. So that will be a good time. And later on at 8 o'clock, D, will also be joined by a Philadelphia basketball player who has certainly some roots here. High school, grew up here, played high school ball here. He was great. Went to Temple, competed very well, and he is now a member of the Delaware Bluecoats. Shiz Alston will join us at 8 o'clock because they have their opener tomorrow at the 76ers Fieldhouse, which is sold out, by the way.
Yep.
As you said.
Yep,
and
sold
I just
out.
Got a text reminding me. It is sold out. So it is sold out. So we'll hear from Shiz Alston at 8 o'clock to get a sense of where his mind is, what the team is looking like as we get ready for the Bluecoats, and you will be calling the game tomorrow.
And I will tell you this. It has such a different feel for the G League team this year, because last year they had the whole start of their season from November all the way to January of being on the road, and by the time they opened their new building, they were behind the eight ball. They
sure.
had lost a lot of games, and
sure.
there's a lot of excitement down there. They have some really good players. The two-way guys, well, Norvell won't be there tomorrow, Norvell Pelt, because he's with
yes.
the Sixers, but I'm looking forward to seeing Mario Shayok. He'll be in the starting lineup. We'll ask Shiz about. And one of the things they have done is they kind of tried to build their lineup similar to the Sixers. So they have a very long starting lineup, similar, so that when they have guys down there, they're playing kind of the same basketball that the Sixers are. And that's helpful.
And they got a big guy named Chris Kumajet.
Yeah, he'll be in the starting
he'll
lineup,
He'll be in the
too.
Starting lineup. He's pretty big.
And Taco will be coming to town with Maine.
Taco in town.
Can
so,
you imagine?
Oh, look at that. That's going to
be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. So, let me start this here. First of all, let me give out the numbers because we already have people who want to call in. So, 610-632-0975 on a Friday night. Sixers basketball. Sixers pregame show live from Trap Tavern in Collegeville, presented by Corona. D, we have to start with Ben Simmons and the injury. As you pointed out, it was supposed to be one game. It appears it could potentially be three games. And let's be perfectly honest. You can't take any team lightly on any given night. But if you're going to sit him, you sit him against Charlotte and Cleveland, with all due respect to those teams, to allow his shoulder to
improve.
And
you're at home for those.
And you're at home. So how important, of course, number one, D, yes, all the jokes aside about him not shooting, how important is he to this lineup and this injury right now?
Well, one of the things I say, look, he's always going to be all-star talent. I mean, that's how good he is. I know people are frustrated with him because we were sold a lot of hype video and speak from this coach and the organization that he was adding a jumper to his game.
And Tobias Harris said it, and then he told us at FanFest that, hey,
And we haven't seen it. And what I think is interesting, so like the other night in the game in Phoenix, it's a former 76ers assistant coach who figured out how to guard him. Lloyd Pierce with Atlanta, they know how to, because they've been in the gym with him. And he hasn't changed anything about his offensive game. I think it's a little bit concerning. I'm more concerned with the way he's playing than I am the shoulder's going to get better.
Yeah, we'll combine the two. And as you say that, D, I said this when I finally had a chance to come back on the air a day, like 2 days later. The game was on Monday against Phoenix. I was back on Wednesday. And, D, my first thing about Ben Simmons was why I was mad at him. As you know, I'm a fan of his.
Big fan.
And I always say aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. What made me mad in that particular game as I sat down and watched it was, as soon as I saw Aaron Baines, I'm like, oh, okay, must have been caught on the switch real fast. No problem, take advantage of him. He did. Next time down the floor, oh, he's there again. Take advantage of him. He did. Now, he missed a few of those layups. That being said, once you realize that that was his primary, that was Aaron Baines' responsibility.
Yep.
That was his defensive matchup. Why are you not attacking him at every point of the game, number one? Get him in foul trouble, number two, and make, you don't have DeAndre Ayton, so your backup is Frank Kaminsky, with all due respect. He is better than both of them, and I am going to take advantage. I'm taking it as disrespect, D, that you put this center on me. I'm a point guard. I understand I'm 6'10". Put a wing on me, right? Mm-hmm. You don't put this center on me and have him out there trying to defend me. I'm an all-star. This is my team, right?
Yes.
He and Joel, this is my team. I felt disrespected that you, especially if you were a coach that was right here with me for the last 2 years, you disrespected me. All right, I'm going to show you. And by the time Monty Williams, that first timeout comes, that TV timeout, or you call a timeout, it's because you're calling the timeout because we are up 15-4
because you did this. Yep.
And he didn't do it. That's what made me mad.
And they never adjusted.
And he didn't take that personal, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think what I have seen in these last couple of games is that they're not dominant if they don't play to their strengths, you know? And like I was reading today, Al Horford had a bad shooting night the other night. But he's your leading three-point shooter. That's a problem. That should not be the case. Tobias Harris has to get more involved. Tobias has to shoot from the outside. I mean, there are flaws to this, the way this roster plays. But it doesn't have to be that way. They can take advantage of people, and they're not doing what they need to do to be dominant.
No, they do not, D. And as you pointed out, Ben Simmons' stats right now are as such. 7 games, of course. He only played a few minutes in the first quarter against the Utah Jazz the other night.
Yep.
The game could have been totally different had he played. They may have won that game. That being said, 31.9 minutes per night, 13 points, 5.4 rebounds, 6.9 assists, D, for Ben Simmons right now, an assist-to-turnover ratio of 1.8, 3.7 turnovers on any given night so far and through the 7 games, really 6 because he didn't play much in the final game against the Utah Jazz. I understand that there's an abundance of talent on this team, but I expected with this abundance of talent, and we know it takes time when you add people like Richardson and Horford into this team, and specifically with the offense, that things are going to change, numbers are going to dip probably, for everyone to figure things out. Roles change because Embiid is in and out of the lineup. We know about the 2-game suspension plus the 1-game miss against Detroit because they wanted to rest him, which was fine, but 13 points and 5-7 for me, at least even to start, was not a number that I looked at for Ben Simmons. I was still in the range of his normal averages of 7, 8, and 7, or maybe higher, 8 and 9, in that regard for Ben Simmons. And right now, even though they're 5-2 and he missed the last game, so he's a little bit off the hook, I'm a little disappointed as to what his numbers look like right now, even when you watch the games and say, oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay because I watched it and it wasn't the normal Ben Simmons.
I would agree. And the other day, their backcourt got outscored 61-14. And that's Rubio and...
Booker.
Thank you. I mean, that can't be. First of all, defensively, you're not getting after it, he and Josh Richardson. And clearly, you're not being aggressive on the offensive end of the floor.
Yes, and that was the other part, too, Dave, when I wrote down in my notes. As much as I was ticked off at him offensively, once Devin Booker got going and you realize, all right, he's like 11-14. He's really efficient. Josh is having issues on this particular night. Hey, let me get a piece of that. You know, let me shut him down.
Absolutely.
And let someone else try to beat us because I'm going to smother this guy as best as possible
and
do it that way.
Not only that, Devin has done it to these guys in the past.
They can't figure him out.
No. I talk about feeling disrespected. Do something about that guy. I mean, you know, 40 is, and you're supposed to be a high-level perimeter defender.
Defensive player of the year is what he told us.
Yeah. And Josh's length is supposed to be a problem for people.
All NBA player, he told us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So all of that goes hand in hand now with him missing these games because of the shoulder. And as I said, I'm not really worried against both Charlotte and Cleveland back-to-back at home on Sunday and Tuesday. I'm not worried about them. It's everyone else. And simply him getting back into the groove. He needs to get back into the groove. And how much is it going to deter him now from doing other things that we want him to do because of that shoulder? We'll see. Especially even on the block, banging into guys, right? Yeah. Is he going to be tentative? with now playing with his back to the basket?
Meaning more tentative. Because right. He's already a little tentative.
Right, right. So we want to ask you guys about the injury to Ben Simmons and what it means for the team right now. What does it mean for him individually? Because he has not been off to a great start, an all-star level player, as we know, in this league. 610-632-0975. D-line him. Devon Givens here on the Sixers pregame show, live from the Trap Tavern out here in Collegeville, D. And we're here until 8:45 before we hand things off to Brian Seltzer for the pregame coverage as they take on the Denver Nuggets for the final game of their four-game West Coast trip. 610-632-0975. The lack of shooting, before we get to the phones, because we know one, these guys want to talk about that as well. We said it, right, when we did the roundtable on the midday show. We said it when we did our last pregame show together that I don't expect him to really take these jump shots that everybody else has been, as you pointed out, being sold a bill of goods in the offseason. I did not care about those videos when we saw them. Joe Torre and I did shows where I'm like, yeah, I'm not, whatever. I've seen it in the gym before with my own two eyes, and it still hasn't translated. So now that millions of people are seeing it on social media, it still does nothing for me until he actually does it. And so what are you thinking about? You're being proven right the start of this season, the first seven games, that he has not shot. And he's had opportunities. The one that really stands out against Phoenix was D late in the game where he had an opportunity. He got into the paint, had the ball, kicked it out, came back to him. He's 9 feet away, could have turned and floated it up and at least hit the rim. He kicked it out. They missed the shot. Next thing you know, Phoenix is going on a run the other way for a fast break.
I feel like sometimes watching him that he digs in his heels purposely to be against what the world wants him to do.
I can't have out of spite with everyone else when you are worried about the other five across from you.
Yeah.
I mean, worry about that.
And I know he's made a couple clutch free throws, but he's still shooting 56% from the line. Even if you didn't take the jumpers and you want to dig your heels in on that, 56 at the line in your third year in this league as a starting point guard is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also the reason that he does not always attack the basket because he doesn't want to go to that line.
And D, when he's attacking the basket, like against Baines, he's still fading away a little bit.
Yep. And, I mean, I was just double checking. I mean, he attempts 3.5 free throws a game. For a 6'10 guy with the ball in his hand as much as he is, that is ridiculous.
Mm.
He always has the size advantage most times.
Most times.
Unless a guy like Baines, which maybe we'll see more of that. You know, let's see what the league does when they look around and they see how people have had success against him. But 3.5 attempts, that's a number. I love that Embiid gets there for 10 right now.
Yes.
You know, it's early on. But I think both of those guys should be double-figure free throw shooting attempts.
Without question. I totally agree. 610-632-0975. Let's take to the phone some of the people who have jumped in already. Want to get in on the Sixers conversation as we give you the Sixers pregame show live from Trap Tavern in Collegeville, presented by Corona. D, let's go to David in Fishtown as he tips things off right here on 97.5. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good. How's it going?
Good. I'm a big fan of both of yours. I just wanted to thank you. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
I'm a big Ben Simmons fan, and I think we got to be patient. I'm an older guy. I remember watching Oscar Robertson when I was young. I remember Bernard King on the Knicks. I remember many players. It really took a while to become great, including Kawhi Leonard and some of the greats that are playing presently. And I just think we have to be patient. He's a work in progress. He's still a young man. He's developing socially, culturally, and at a basketball level. And I think we're going to be fine. Let's just give him a little time to mature.
The tough part about that, Dave, and as you just stated, you listen to the both of us, so you know I'm a huge Simmons fan.
No, I realize that, and we've talked about it.
My issue is, yeah. You know what? They're trying to win now. They put this team together to win now, which includes him, especially rewarding him with that contract that they gave him to improve. And maybe that, and certainly that improvement will come, and maybe it is this season. But right now, when you see things that he's doing and just basically reverting back to some of the bad habits that he already has, Dave, it's hard to say let's look and give him some time when we know they still have, 75 games to play plus the playoffs, and he has a long career ahead of him. They're in win-now mode, and that starts right now.
No, point taken, and we expect a lot of him, and I just feel like it's going to get better, and that, you know, their defense and the way they've been playing, you know, he was matched up with Baines a lot in that game, and he got two guys from Australia, or maybe Baines is from New Zealand, I can't remember.
No, he's Australian.
He's Australian, yep.
They it was definitely, you know, and listen, Donovan Mitchell and Booker, these guys went off, and your point is well taken, D. They have to be able to stop these scorers, and Ben's got to get to the line more. I agree with everything you said. I'm just suggesting that it's very early in the season. I remember a couple of years ago, Devon, when they went on that 17-0 run at the end when Embiid got his eye socket. I spoke to you at that time, and then we had the Ilyasova and Bellinelli, and then we had the Jimmy Butler. I think we got to give these guys a little time. The good takeaway was Josh Richardson looks a little more comfortable. I agree. Tobias has to step up. He has to be assertive. He has to knock down shots. And they're playing a lot more guys, to Brett Brown's credit, you know, with Kyle O'Quinn and Furkan and Ennis and Scott. He's got a longer rotation than he will at the end of the year, certainly in the playoffs. But I just would encourage everyone to try to be patient, as hard as that is.
You got it, Dave. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate the kind words. Dee, what do you think about giving them that time and being patient?
I think my fear is, and I use this phrase, I was having a conversation with my dad. I said, look, I understand he's an all-star talent for sure, but he may not be able, he may be the very reason you don't win a championship because the lack of growth in his game. I am not disputing that he's deserving of being an all-star because he's that unique and talented, but there has to be growth in areas that we have talked about for now 3 years, and it hasn't happened. So whatever patience, it's not about the patience. It's about that he has not taken it upon himself to develop that part of his game.
Which every player does, no matter the level. But in this case, you are number one pick and a all-league level player, and someone who was just rewarded with a big contract this summer.
And Devon, I mean, I know it's only seven games, and we'll throw out the one, so let's just say six. But the number of shots that he has taken outside of 10 feet is diminishing from each year.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
And it's crazy because you know how sometimes you can say, well, you know what, Dean, when you have all this talent, you can do whatever you want. And you're right. He can still, we know he can get to the basket, and that's very successful for him, especially when he's aggressive in doing that. But when he's doing what he's doing and not being aggressive and saying, oh, we have Horford and Richardson now, and Embiid's the all-star as well as I am. He's an all-league player. Tobias is a scorer. I'm going to get these guys. Yes, how about you make it easier for them, too?
Yeah, well, and my thing would be, then you would be averaging double-figure assists.
You should.
If it's all about just setting up these other guys, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
But you're not double-figure assists.
Yeah, 610-632-0975. Joe, Chuck, Eddie, Jim, everybody hang on. We're going to take a quick break as we broadcast live from 416 West Main Street in Trap, PA. Right here near Collegeville, right? From the Trap Tavern. That's D-Line. I'm Devon Givens. This is the Sixers pregame show presented by Corona with Andrew Salchunas in the house as well, right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
629, 97.5 The Fanatic, live from Trap Tavern, 416 West Main Street in Trap, PA. Right here on The Fanatic, D-Line, I'm Devon Givens with the Sixers pregame show presented by Corona, where you can get $3.50 Corona Light Draft, D-Line.
I heard Mikey Miss saying the number of calories. That's right up my alley.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Take care of that. Yeah, make sure we take care of the people. 610-632-0975. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. We're going to talk more than just Ben Simmons tonight, of course. There's some good things to talk about as well, like the fact that, hey, are 5-2, even though you can point out maybe they should have won a couple of those games, but maybe they should have lost that Portland game. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
There's a give and take with all of this.
The Atlanta game, they pulled that one out.
They pulled that one out as well. Yep. That's where the defense prevailed and show, again, when you are a team that's supposed to win, that's how you win those games, and they found a way to do it. So there are some pluses to this entire thing, and we'll talk about that certainly. But Ben Simmons, his shoulder injury, number one, we want to hear from you guys about that. And the fact that he's not necessarily performing the way that we expect him to the first part of this season. Plenty of games to play.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be back at some point. He'll most likely be an all-star. But right now, a little unhappy at his play, especially since he didn't take it personally to do what he needed to do against Aaron Baines. They disrespected him, D. I didn't like it. Let's go to Joe in West Oak Lane on 97.5. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up? How y'all doing?
Good.
I really enjoy y'all show, y'all basketball genius.
Thank you.
Both of you guys are like my favorite listen to guys for basketball. I'm afraid that Ben Simmons is not the guy that's going to get us to the championship, because I think it's part of his muscle memory right now, and he's making other people on the floor look bad, because your point guard has to be able to shoot, number one, and number two, he has to be able to shoot at least 75% from the foul line.
And I agree with the foul line part for sure.
I'll take 70.
At least. I'm not buying. I'm quite frankly, I do not buy that injury. I think he's faking. I think he's faking it.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah. I do. I think he's faking it. It's too early to be injured, and the guy is in great shape. I think he doesn't want to be out there because he's embarrassed, because he can't shoot that ball.
Well, first of all, Joe, if he was faking it, you would do it in your shooting arm, which would be the left. And the other thing is, I don't know if you saw the shot of him sitting on the bench.
No, I didn't.
He literally could not raise his arm above his head.
Yeah, well, how convenient. How convenient. He can't raise his arm. He's not going to be able to raise his arm for the rest of the year. And so he's not going to face any heat for not being able to shoot that ball.
I'm never going to question. If a guy says he's hurt, I'm not going to question the injury. I mean, there's no reason, and it's not my place to question him when he says he's hurt.
I got you. I understand where you're coming from, but I'm not buying it. And we have been sold a bag of goods. This guy has a guaranteed $170 million max contract, and to be a point guard of a team trying to get to the championship, he's not get that guy. The first rule.
Well, he may not be, Joe. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. He may not be the guy. We'll find out. And I don't think he's getting in the way yet of a championship. I mean, he's had his issue. Well, no, I'm not even saying that, because they should have got to the Eastern Conference Finals and beating Toronto if he played better in games 4 and 7. Partly him. So I'll give him that. But we don't know how the series would have played out.
Embiid didn't help you either, though.
Yeah, but that's when your other star steps up, and he did not. So I'll give you that part. But right now, being early, while we're criticizing for what he's not doing as of right now, I mean, come on. I mean, I'm not going to sit there, like you said, I'm not going to sit there and say the guy's faking it.
No.
If he was faking it, being embarrassed about his shot, he wouldn't have played the last two seasons, because he hasn't shot yet.
Yeah. I mean, and if you looked at the video.
And the videos.
They did keep showing the wrong play, though. I understand if the guy thinks the injury happened on the bump.
That's
when
on
he was
the
posted,
TV people.
Yeah, that's not the play where he got hurt.
Right.
You have to go back. It happened earlier in the game. So if he thinks that, I can understand why he would question that. Because it's next to nothing right then and there when he's posting a guy up. But to see the awkward fall earlier in the game, I think you could see him grimace.
And as you said, he stayed down for a while.
Yeah, I think you could understand that's where he got hurt.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. 610-632-0975. How much do you, when it comes to the shooting, and again, I did not want to go this route, but here we are. How much of that do you put in to being player development?
Well, you got to want to do it, though, Devon. You know?
I agree with you.
And I think part of this is also on, unfortunately, Brett Brown and his staff.
That's what I said, player development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because you're kind of allowing him to continue on this path.
Yes.
I mean, you don't, you can't tell me that you never script a play, right? They run plays for people.
Absolutely.
Get somebody the
they
ball.
Run plays for him.
So run a play to put him in a position to take a jumper. And if he refuses to do it, I think you have to do something as a group.
One thing, D, I always said, as much as I love the guy, if you were going to do something, you do it early. Oh, okay, you're not going to shoot? Come sit next to me for a minute.
Exactly. I mean, if I design this play...
Come sit next to me for
you,
a minute.
And you get open, and you don't do it, I'm sorry. It's a conversation that has to happen.
Have a seat. Now, can you do it now? You can do it now, but he's going to pout.
Yep.
He's going to be upset about it.
But they're allowing it to happen.
Yeah, this is similar to the Embiid thing and with
Devon,
the conditioning and all that stuff.
And unfortunately, as I said, he's going to have nice numbers. You're going to be a 50-plus win team, and you're going to find yourselves in the playoffs again. And now the problem is magnified.
And the problem magnified, number one, because the scheme was already put together to stop with the wall. Okay, Boston did it. Everyone else followed suit. Toronto did what they did. Same thing. Now it's, we have a big man who can run around with that big man and not have him bang with Embiid and all of that stuff that's going on. Well, number one, Embiid wasn't playing, so that's why the luxury of Phoenix was to have Baines on Simmons instead of the big man, because Horford, all right, we'll put Dario Saric on Horford and we'll deal. We'll be fine. If he scores, he scores. We'll figure out another way to win. If that is the case, they can now get a little creative and decide to go elsewhere with defending. So it's not just the wall anymore. It's being unique with how you defend them with individuals. Like, let me disrespect you by putting the center on you that shouldn't be defending you. 610-632-0975. I hated that. I really did. Joe in Philly next on the Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Joe, what's happening? We're hanging out in Trap, you know, PA, with all these great people, places packed. Should have made the trip up here, man.
Yeah, next time.
All right, we got about, what, 10 more of these, D? 9 or 10?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
We'll see you out there somewhere.
Listen, D, I agree totally about as far as the coaching class fair part in getting Simmons to shoot. Like you said, run a play for him. And make him shoot. I was saying that even last year. If he don't want to shoot, you need to sit him down. If he's running the play for him. And as far as defensively, I think Richardson is doing as much as he can with the scheme they're calling.
I don't blame Josh Richardson too much, because you know he at least gives effort when he plays. He hasn't been good at it. So far, he's been okay. He hasn't been as much as we built him up to be, seeing him from Miami and understanding what he would be with this team. But I'm not worried about him right now. And, yes, Donovan Mitchell goes off. Devin Booker goes off as well. The problem there with Devin Booker in that game is the points, as D pointed out, it didn't counter what they were the output that they had out there, where he had the points against Donovan Mitchell, but he needed some support from and he just didn't get it.
But to look at it, when they play centers who are good screeners, they struggle with point guards because they get no help from their center. And that's what happened with Gobert and Baines. When they play Boston, Kemba Walker, they don't have no center to screen. Kemba Walker had a struggling night with Richardson sticking.
Okay, I got you. I hear you. Joe, thanks for the call. So when they have somebody big setting a screen, D, like Baines is an elite screener in the NBA, right? Somebody, he's going to make you feel him.
Yes.
And he's going to bump your man off. You're either going to get the help from his man to cut the things off, or you're not. And in that case, those cases with those guys, elite scores. Plus, they're a little bigger than Kemba Walker, so it's a little bit easier for them to get the buckets than Kemba.
Yeah.
Even though we know he can put up 60 like we've seen.
He did not. And I'll give their defense credit for the night that Kemba did not have
yes.
on opening night. But I don't know that I would have looked at it as the bigger bodies setting screens being the problem.
Always a plus, but not necessarily right. the case. These guys just happen to be really good at scoring as well, and they had their nights. 610-632-0975. How do you stop them? How do you look at the team defense right now with the 76ers? Because they started that Jazz game off, D, before we go to break, second in the NBA behind Utah in defensive rating.
Yep.
After that game and a couple of games since then that they have not played, the other league, the other teams have played, they're seventh right now defensive rating.
And Denver's defense, we can talk about this on the other side.
Yep.
They're a good defensive team.
Absolutely. Chuck, Eddie, Wes, Jim, Mike, Kev, hang on. We'll get to you on the other side. 610-632-0975. Andrew Salchin is going to talk to the crowd here, give away some stuff. D-Lineman and I will be back right here at Trap Tavern, 416 West Main Street, the Sixers pregame show on The Fanatic, presented by Corona, right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Sixers pregame show presented by Corona, live here at the Trap Tavern in Trap PA, right here near Collegeville, 416 West Main Street. D-Line, I'm Devon Givens with you until 8:45. We will hand things off to Brian Seltzer from Sixers.com for the pregame show. Sixers Nuggets, 2-5-2 teams, and one without their star player Ben Simmons, out with a shoulder injury. The Denver Nuggets, two in a row. They've won since starting off 3-2, and their star player Jokic not performing the way that we're accustomed to seeing him play right now, only averaging 13.9 points per game. Really just not himself, and he's not in shape right now. His conditioning is terrible so far. So hopefully Embiid, who's averaging, I believe, 24-11 right now for the 76ers.
Oh, yeah.
Double-double for him. He's still amazing.
He had 27 the other night, 16 of which came at the foul line.
Yes.
When your center can go to the line and make 16 of 18 free throws, I mean, it's a luxury. You can keep him on the floor.
Big-time luxury.
Yeah.
That's crazy because you jump there and you say that, and I wanted to bring this up later as we kind of go around the league, kind of get into a little bit of things. James Harden right now averaging 16 free throws a game.
Oh, I know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he makes them.
And he makes them. 610-632-0975.
By the way, can I just throw out one thing that I'm really looking forward to? The Bluecoats game tomorrow.
Yes.
I want to see the where you go to the line. If you get fouled on a three-point shot,
that's
you only get
rule.
One.
That's the new rule, right? Yeah.
Apparently, they had a scrimmage, and they had real referees,
mm-hmm.
and it happened in their scrimmage the other day. I cannot wait to see this in action.
Okay, yeah, we're going to talk about that one next week.
I'll let you know.
The pregame show. Let's go back to the phones. We head to Dallas right now, checking in with Chuck on the Fanatic. What's happening, Chuck?
How y'all doing, man?
Good.
Hey, listen, I'm done with Ben.
Oh, I'm not done with him. You're done?
You watch basketball. You've been watching basketball for years.
Yes.
You played basketball. I played basketball. I actually grew up in Willingboro, and I moved to Texas when I was after school and whatnot. I don't see enough. He's not doing anything to improve his shooting. His form is awkward. Even when he does layups and shots around the basket, it's like he's throwing up floaters and he's throwing up weird-looking hooks. He doesn't post up. He's supposed to be the second best player on the team, and he can't get us in the playoffs. It's going to be the same MO in the playoffs. There's no way he's going to get through the West. He may be able to get through the East. We're not winning a championship with this guy. It's not happening. I would trade him straight up today for Harden or De'Aaron Fox. That point.
I'm just going to tell you, he's not getting traded.
What has he shown you in the last 3 years to show you that he's actually going to improve his shooting? To me, he's like a glorified Rodman. Like, what are we doing?
Well, guess what? You can win with Rodman. Yeah,
Rodman wasn't
a couple of championships.
Exactly.
Rodman wasn't our second best player. He was the third or fourth best player.
Yeah.
And Beat only has maybe three or four more good years with good knees and good ankles with his height and his weight problems. I just get tired of these games that we play in Philly. It's like we're cursed. We get a great quarterback in McNabb and we can't get receivers. We get a great player in Barkley, we can't get good players around him. We get a great player in Embiid and we can't get the proper players around him. And the guy, what's his name from the Clippers? He's not stepping up to be the second best player.
Tobias
he's not. He's a role player.
Listen, I mean, I will say this.
Game, go ahead, D. I'm sorry.
Tobias is averaging 19 points a game.
But you know what? It's 19 because he had the one game where he had 29, where he really stepped up, and everything else has been in the same range of that 18, 19 points per game. Of course, I had written down in the notes, and we looked at it before the show. He could be better.
Oh, he can be better.
He could be better.
Sure. And he needs to be better
from the
three-point line. He needs to be a guy who spaces the floor for them. I mean, right now, really, Horford
Absolutely
has
right.
been doing it, but I don't think you should be relying on Al Horford to be your best three-point shooter. And I know somebody will say, what about Furkan? I get it. That's his specialty. But you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
From the starters, Al Horford should not be the guy who's taking the most threes and you're relying on him to make those.
And what's his percentage right now from three? Al Horford, you talked about how much he's shooting, but what is his percentage overall from behind the three-point line?
Horford from three. Oh, I'm sorry. Horford from three is 35.
35%?
Last year with the Celtics, he was 38 for the season.
And he's shooting five a game.
Five a game, yep. So,
Tobias Harris is also shooting five a game. Embiid is taking four attempts a game right now.
And Furkan is four and a half.
And Richardson is as well. Everyone's taking him, except for we see the 0.0, 0.0 right there for the point guard. I'll leave that one alone, D. So we go to South Philly next, and Eddie on the Fanatic. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's up, D-Squared? How are you?
What's happening?
You know, these callers are frustrating me. They really are. I mean, it's crazy. The one caller to say he's taking an injury.
Come on, man.
Really, dude? Listen, you know, frustrating and epic to watch. Yes, he is. He is so talented. He got 6'10". What he can do with basketball is amazing. But here's the deal. He doesn't think like a player to shoot the ball. He's not programmed to play like that. It's like teaching an old dog new tricks.
Ed, when you say program to do that, that's where the player development comes in the early stages of his career. While it's still early, they were still developing because they weren't a good team, and now they are that good team that have the expectations that they do.
Yeah, but he doesn't think like that. When he's on the court, he doesn't think to shoot the ball. Now, I don't know what they have to do to change that, but to say that we don't want him or to trade him, to me, is asinine. It's absolutely ridiculous. This kid is a generational talent. This kid's going to bring a toast to this town. So to say to get rid of him, to me, is a joke.
I don't disagree that they can win with him. I agree with you that they can win with him. I think they can win with him. We just need to see some improvements on the stuff. We already love him already. And listen, you're talking to two people who like his game, but we get frustrated with some of the things that he doesn't do.
And like I said, he's probably one of the most frustrated athletes that I can think of in a long time.
Absolutely. You just talked about all the stuff. Right? Look at Charles Barkley. We all love Charles Barkley. We could say, Charles, you didn't play good enough defense sometimes, or you didn't shed the weight that you needed to shed sometimes.
Right. But he did.
But we still love the guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. He's 23 years old? I mean, come on.
The only thing I
would say is I need to see growth in your game. The great players in this league, they improve their games. All the great ones, whether it's Jordan being a better outside shooter, he developed that. LeBron developed that. I need to see growth, and I've seen the same high-level talent in Ben Simmons for now what is a third year.
Absolutely, D. Of course, we're here at the Trap Tavern, 416 West Main Street, where you can get 350 Corona Light Drafts. And, of course, our pregame show is presented by Corona. We're here until 8:45. Come on out and hang out with us. You hear everything buzzing in the back. That's this great crowd here. Like we said, when we pulled up, the parking lot packed. But there's still room for you if you want to come on out and hang out with us until 8:45. And you can stick around and watch the game there afterwards and meet Andrew Sauchunas during the break as well. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm Devon Givens. The Sixers pregame show presented by Corona at the Trap Tavern right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.